Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes. It is the 2nd of March, 2013. This is the Zero Point Show, which is every second week on BBS Radio at 4 to 6 Eastern. My background is actually in mystical and spiritual psychology, but that's a background I've had to forget lately because of facing the monstrous crimes being perpetrated upon us as a human race. And I feel that my mystical esoteric studies have much less to do for myself at the moment than trying to face this conspiracy upon us all. So anyway, so about last year, I invited my friend Dee on the program. Hi, Dee, how are you?
The villain is here.
The villain is here.
Yeah. I guess I take the blame for shoving you off your normal course.
Well,
that's okay.
Oh, yeah, I needed it, Dee. I mean, when we're facing what we're facing, it's so overwhelming.
Yeah, well, you know what I find is that the spiritual knowledge that I do have, personally speaking,
mm-hmm.
but the spiritual knowledge that I have takes my fear away. And because I don't have any fear anymore, I'm able now to face things that I wouldn't have been able to face before, you know, including things like today's topic, you know, what corruption is here, what corruption is there. Everywhere you look, there's corruption. Here a crook, there a crook, everywhere a crook. Okay? I mean, this is essentially what we're dealing with, and if you don't want to be overwhelmed by that, you really have to have a sense of who you are, you know, as a spirit, as a soul, because if you don't, you know, if you're identified with your physical flesh and blood existence, then you're going to be frightened up the yin-yang. And I know so many people who are living in fear right now, and, you know, they're going, well, you know, what are you going to do about these chemtrails? I'm going, well, I personally can't do much except tell people.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to the people to stand up, and if they don't, guess what? We all go down.
Yeah, we do.
It's craziness, but what are you going to do about it except share the truth? Well, we're told that. We're told to share the truth in every spiritual pursuit that has ever existed on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
People are told to seek the truth. Well, if it's the truth that sets us free, then we better know some of it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's all there is to it, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what that truth is. If it's true, it's true. You know, it's like, oh, you don't like the color of the sky? Well, get your spray can out. Call me when you're done.
Yeah.
Because it is what it is, and there's nothing threatens the truth. This is one thing I learned from reading A Course in Miracles, the thing that struck me right off the hop.
Nothing threatens the truth.
No, it says what is only the truth is real, and what is real cannot be threatened. And it's like, holy crap, there you go. Sky's blue, what are you going to do about that fact? We have Harper for a prime minister and all that goes with him. What are you going to do about that? In one case, you got something you can do. In the other case, you got something you can't do. That's part of the truth, too.
Yeah.
And you have to know that. You have to have that in your head because you have to be realistic about what you can accomplish. If you're realistic, you won't get disappointed. If you don't get disappointed, you will keep going.
And that's what we need to keep doing.
That's what we need to keep doing, especially those of us who are in the business of sharing the truth.
Yeah.
You know, because if you and I and people like us let that truth be overwhelming, then we're done. We're done. Who else is going to do what we do?
Yeah.
You know? There's only room for us because there's room for us. And that's a sad fact, too, isn't it? You know, that there's room for truth tellers because there aren't that many of them.
No.
That's a scary fact.
So today we've got a different show a bit. You know, we've talked about corruption at the international level and 9/11 and all the false wars. And we've talked about it at the state level and but today we're going to have a different approach a bit and talk about corruption at the municipal level. And
there isn't any.
Yeah. You have to have at the provincial, or it couldn't occur at higher levels. Like, it's all kind of intertied to each other.
It has to be mutually self-supporting.
Yeah.
You know, and it is. And, you know, if you look at, I'll just take another moment here. If you look at the Tom Flanagan affair, okay? Now, Tom Flanagan just got kicked off CBC. Thank you, God, okay? But Tom Flanagan came out of the PMO. He was like a mover and shaker with the prime minister. He was the head of the campaign for Harper in 2004, got him his first election. You know, real mover and shaker among the Conservative Party. And he comes out with a statement in public, and he basically said that pornography is, or kiddie porn is basically taste in pictures.
Is taste in pictures.
Taste in pictures.
Holy
and
moly.
One cop that was interviewed about it says, you know, these are not just pictures. They are crime scenes.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Just what he doesn't get. He also made some very, very deleterious comments about the people who are involved in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. They asked for documents confirming this and that. 8 million documents they asked for.
Wow.
He laughed. He thought it was funny.
Wow.
So, you know, here are these people who are behind the scenes in these political offices. Okay, and I'm sure that our guests today are going to probably have comments on consultants. Municipal consultants. Oh, boy.
So we've got two guests today, and I understand both of them have backgrounds in farming, a small sheep farmer and another a small farmer. So it'll be interesting how people who came from a background in farming ended up having websites connected to municipal corruption.
And one of them is running for Reeve. Is that you, Keith? You're running for Reeve?
Yeah, I ran for Reeve in 2010, but I'm going to run in 2014.
Attaboy.
Yeah, good
attaboy.
For you.
Yeah. We need people to stand up for that kind of thing. It, you know, people need to realize this is a very far-flung country. I mean, it's a huge country.
Yeah.
And a lot of the land that is served by municipal governments comes from the people who run for these positions are like Keith. They're farmers,
mm-hmm.
You know. They're people who come off the land. They're people who have not had the opportunity or the reason to get involved in any kind of corruption. These people are the salt of the earth, and we need them.
Yeah.
We particularly need them, even federally we need them, because to enforce the well-being of our farm communities, which are suffering hugely under the federal and international rules. I mean, it's like you said at the beginning of the show, all levels. Each one supports the other. Each one is connected, and I'm kind of looking forward to asking our guests today about things like the World Urban Forum and ICLEI and these kind of things that are infesting our cities at a rapid rate and bringing the international level right down to the municipal one.
And I wanted to
Don't
raise
forget,
this
even
question.
A poor farmer can actually be bought and paid for as well because of the struggling industry, and it doesn't take long for them to turn. We're experiencing that in this area with our MPP, and it's quite disappointing what's going on.
Well, you know what that's connected to? It's interesting you should say that, because what that's basically connected to is something that's been floating around in the last little while. People are very worried about, the collapse, of the pending collapse of economies and, you know, where's the world going and all this kind of stuff. Well, essentially, we all know that the rug is being pulled out from the bottom end of our human spectrum. And part of that is about food. Now, of course, who are our suppliers of food? Well, those would be the farmers. Okay? Those would be the farmers. Well, you know what? When a farmer can't feed his family, he is as vulnerable to corruption as anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, food comes first.
And it goes deeper than that. It goes as far as now as the municipalities are going to control what's going to happen on your farm. They've actually started on the impact assessment. Now your farm is going to be based on potential. So if your farm generates more than what the property value is, you will be taxed on that potential. So why should I grow a $100,000 crop when my farm is only valued at $60,000? You know, why should I take all my hard-earned money and time and expenses and just give it to a municipality because they're crying for money?
Of course they're crying for money. Right. Why? Because they're being squeezed from above. And why are they being squeezed from above? Deliberately.
I think I'm going to take control here a little bit and bring on the first guest, Norm, and we'll get Norm to tell a little bit of how he went from being a sheep farmer to having a site on municipal corruption. Norm, are you there?
Yes, I am. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, oh, that was Norm, was it? I thought
that was me. Yeah, it's kind of hard to keep farmers quiet, eh?
Okay, I'd like to give you the opportunity, Norm, just to give a little bit of your background and how you became involved in this epic struggle we're facing.
Yeah, no, just you know, I was a contractor for most of my life, and I basically there was no way that you know, with all the money we were making, that I could survive and raise a family in a town setting between the taxes and, you know, the service, everything. So I decided to get away from all that and move in a rural area, start farming for me and my family. I have six boys. I've been with my wife 30 years. And, you know, we're living great. But for you to be living on the outside of the box draws curiosity. And curiosity draws attention, so it just it's a snowball effect. It's hard to I get so many issues on the go here. I'm trying to keep it straight, but the thing is, we try to try to live your life without the government interference. You know, try to save what you have, but we were running into municipal bylaws. We are running into municipal, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to pay for this. So me and Keith were actually running into problems with our own municipalities, and we ended up getting in contact last year. And, you know, we are in the legal, we are now in the legal stage of our problems here. But it was the same problem. One in Northern Ontario, one in Southern Ontario. So we tried to get attention. We did some research, went to the proper authorities, and the walls kept coming up. Boom. We go to the Municipal Affairs and Housing. That's legal advice. You have to get a lawyer. Well, you know what I mean? It's in the act. You ask a question.
Excuse me? Excuse me? That's legal
advice?
Yes,
that's the way it is now.
Yeah.
So it's we were having so much problem just trying to get people informed. So you know, me and Keith sat down, and we figured out that you know, we can't go to the mainstream media because they're all bought and paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And so we figured, well, social media is the way to go. And just before Christmas, we just ended up launching this small website to express our views and give people an area to blog. Correct, Keith?
Yes.
Do you want to give out the information for that website just so people can take it down?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, why don't you do
it's
that
called,
now?
It's called www.yourmunicipality.ca. And it's basically a website. Basically, you know, our motto is the corruption and abuse of entrusted powers for the private gain. It hurts everyone who depends on it. Integrity of the people in a position of authority. You know, it's a place where everybody can actually expose what's happening in their municipality. So, obviously, we can't all be on the Internet 24/7 to find out what's happening in each little town. Mm-hmm. But we're giving the people, I guess, the forum, without interruption or government interference, to, you know, express your views, expose the corruption, expose the illegal bylaws, the intrusions, And it's been overwhelming. We're getting more and more, and now people are starting to understand how to read some of the acts. You know, people are actually starting to get involved now. They're finally starting to wake up.
Wow.
But it's a tough business.
Yeah.
It is indeed. I mean, you've been affected, the farmers have been affected so badly by the trade agreements alone. I mean, since NAFTA, we've lost more than 50,000 family farms in Canada. And
see, Keith, he would know exactly what's going on with that, because we're so far north, we don't have the market here because of the geographical area. But Keith, he's right in that. He knows exactly mm-hmm. what's going on. Keith, if you want to take over here, it's give her.
Okay, my background, basically, I came up to Ottawa in 2000 to work on basically a whole bunch of government contracts. I worked for, at that time, a translation bureau. And then my wife decided to buy a farm in, just outside of Ottawa. And then we decided eventually to raise sheep. And we came extremely successful with our sheep. We spent probably about 6 years marketing them, and we were selling our lamb into two farmers' markets in Ottawa. We were selling them to fine restaurants in Ottawa. We were also selling them to one of the grocery chains here in Ontario, and very successful. But one day, when I was just minding my own business, my neighbor decided to come over and started tearing down my fence, because it seemed that the township passed a bylaw allowing to tear down my fence, but they forgot to tell me. So that's how I really got involved with this whole thing. And
to come on to your
legal
property and tear down your fence on your property. What kind of bylaw is that? Like,
well, they said there was a road allowance there, but I don't want to really get into the legal aspect of it. Put it this way.
Yeah.
I probably own the land, and there's probably a house built on a road allowance. So that's how I became at it. And basically, my neighbor has put me out of business, okay? Because what he did, he tore my fence down about 3 weeks before my sheep were to have their lambs, and I couldn't keep them off a busy highway, Highway 15. So me and my wife had to chase them back and forth because he tore our fences down. We couldn't contain them. And then what they did was they aborted their lambs or had premature lambs. So we had no marketable lambs in 2010. So therefore, we're out of business. We lost all our customers. We lost all that effort we put in all those years.
Lovely.
So that's when I started going to council meetings and figured out what was actually going on in the municipal government. That's when I ran in 2010. And these people have done nothing but lie to me, okay? They just lie. So, and you catch them in their lies too, because I've done a few videotapes of their meetings and stuff, and they don't look very good.
Well, I tell you, anybody who's ever watched Question Period at the House of Commons knows exactly what you're talking about, because they lie there too. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, Question Period, which you basically find reflected at all levels of government, they have like a question period, because they all follow Robert's Rules of Order. And when you get into that question period at the federal level, it's like you're just watching a bunch of guys play ping pong while other people play on their computers. Because there's no question ever answered. There's nothing ever solved. If you bring something up, the government answers with something else. And you find this at municipal council as well. You look at what happened in Toronto here with Mayor Ford. Okay, here's the guy voting on things that affect him. He's legally restricted from that. His defense is that he didn't know the rules on conflict of interest, and yet he'd been a councillor for 10 years and mayor for 2. How did he avoid learning those rules?
Good lawyer. He got out of a noose recently because what he did was... he overspent on his election.
Yep.
And he basically got a number of his friends to vote on that it should be right or wrong, and they voted 2-1 in his favor that he didn't break the law. But he did. So he bought his way into government. So why is he not being prosecuted? Why isn't Revenue Canada going after him? You know what I mean?
Good question. And what I find real interesting is that I think one of the keys to him getting elected in the first place was the involvement of, guess who, Stephen Harper. Because he had this little fishing trip during the election campaign, and Harper turned up at his backyard barbecue and says, oh, well, this is my new fishing buddy. Well, Harper,
and don't forget, he also threw the Premier of Ontario out. He told them, we didn't want any more of your money.
Uh-huh.
So they took offense to that.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, and then we take offense when everything is downloaded on us and we can't afford it. You know, and the municipalities have been hit on ever since Michael Harris was premier of this province. That was when the real downloads started. We had downloads before that, but everything got downloaded off the province of Ontario onto municipalities in Ontario. And, of course, every municipality, including Toronto, is damn near bankrupt.
Yep.
So if they're damn near bankrupt, where does that money come from? Well, then you go to council and they say, okay, well, you know, what if we charge them for this and charge them for that? We can bring in revenue. So it becomes a question of what they can rip out of people's pockets in order to survive. And it's not
always... here comes this famous quote that you really love is, you got to go along to get along.
Yeah.
And I know you love that quote.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I say, never forget that only dead fish swim with the stream.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if you don't stand up and start asking questions, your motto is just hold your breath and go underground. Because
I heard another one a few weeks ago, and that is, these days, if you're not an activist, you're a victim. And that's exactly the truth. That's exactly the truth. I like that dead fish quote. I really like that. But the bottom line is, for me, you know, I've had in the health freedom area, which is my background, okay, in the health freedom area, when there were arguments between groups because one group was doing something entirely stupid, right,
mm-hmm.
and other groups were doing things in a much better way, people are telling me, why don't you just go along to get along? I said, why go along to the wrong spot?
Yeah.
I don't want to go there.
You'd
why
be selling yourself
there?
Short.
Yeah, exactly. You sell yourself short, you sell everybody short. You deny.
But if you get enough people to pull the dead people, then you got a bunch of zombies who will agree to anything.
Yeah.
And this is what's happening. We are trying to educate people that these municipalities are corrupt. We can show you that they're corrupt. And people just... For the last couple of years, I've been telling everybody that where I pay taxes, the corporation of Town Yerko Falls has been a private company, and a lot of people said no, it's a municipality. People have to understand that municipalities no longer exist; they are all corporations.
Okay,
they are there for the money.
They come right out and they say it. They come right out and say it. They say the corporation of the municipality of whatever. The corporation of the city of Toronto. The corporation of this, the corporation. They're all corporations.
The average person have no idea how a corporation works.
Exactly.
So what they do is they blurb it out, but they say, well, you know, we have an elected council for you. You're not electing mayor and council. You are electing a CAO and a board of directors.
Exactly.
That's what that's what people have to get through their heads. They have to understand how government works.
Yeah,
municipal
also,
government. Go ahead.
They should also understand that if these guys are CEOs of a corporation, who owns the corporation? Well, we would be the stockholders because we are the people who are the city. We are the
Well, we're called body corporate.
Yeah, body.
And body
corporate
is pardon me?
And well, if the body corporate were to say, "No, you're not going to do that," then that's what happens in corporations, but unfortunately, our body corporate has corks in their mouths.
Well, after April 8th, when they come out with the new Municipal Act, they're actually taking that right away from you.
Oh, boy.
Because now, for example, I'll give you, under the new Municipal Act, when they talk about the nuisance bylaw, anything could be a nuisance. If I'm at council meetings every Tuesday and I'm complaining, I'm a nuisance. They can actually pass a bylaw against me and say that, or anything, saying that is a nuisance. And that, if it's done in good faith, emphasize good faith here, that council's opinion is final and cannot be interpreted or changed through any courts. When you start taking away the power from the people to actually get, action in a court or a independent body to oversee or get an interpretation, we have a problem in this province.
I'll just bring a point up. My township passed a bylaw that I am not allowed to record or videotape any of their public meetings. But I can go to the legislature in Toronto, and I can record their meetings. I can go to the House of Commons and record the meetings, but I cannot record the meetings in my municipality.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yet these meetings are for our public record.
Yeah, try
Absolutely
to find
true.
Public record. That's the problem. They're hiding everything. They're doing everything behind closed doors. This is why I supported Mr. Morin on as the closed door meeting. We lobbied really hard on our website with that, because people are going to have to wake up. When you bring in, I use the example, I don't like what my foreman, I don't like the way he talks to me, I don't like the way he delegates, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to fire him and bring in one of my buddies. And this is exactly what the town of Sudbury have done, because they didn't like being told what to do. This is how arrogant municipal politicians are. They figure they're voted in, and they can do whatever they want without public input. It's this thing for the greater for the city or the town or municipality. It's irrelevant. It's for the people. If the people say no, it should be no. They should have brought this up to a vote, a public vote, but they didn't do that. There's always a loophole in these legislation and these municipal acts where it gives the authority to these, I call them gangsters incorporated. They can do whatever they want, and they're not accountable. Did you know they actually go on courses to be trained on how to protect themselves from people like me and Keith, and these websites and questions and being asked by the media, well, what about these infractions? They are trained by AMO, which is their little, I call them the little mafia, where all the heads of the family meet so many times a year to figure how to screw the basic taxpayer. And it's to me, it's so frustrating because a lot of people don't see it.
Yeah,
and it's right there. And it's just like, wake up, people. What do we got to do here?
Yeah, well, things have changed. I mean, we all know things have changed. It didn't used to be that way. I mean, there was always some. You go back to Tammany Hall and all these. I mean, come on. There's
yep.
always been corruption. Anytime you've got a gathering of power, you've got corruption. But the thing is, it was never so blatant, it was never so all-encompassing, it was never so widespread as it is now. It seems that
Absolutely.
Everybody wants to get on the act, everybody wants to jump in the same bucket, everybody wants their nose in the same trough.
Yep.
And this,
well, I'll tell you how arrogant it is. Well, the problem now, I'll tell you how arrogant these municipalities are. Well, you guys know what happened in Montreal with the student protest. You know, I was discussing this with my cousin Pierre in Montreal, and I told him, I says, look at that. The people got arrested because they were exercising their rights as free, for freedom of speech, assembly, expression. They got arrested because they didn't follow the municipal bylaw. Like, what's with that?
Uh-huh. Well, we see them using little laws like that to enforce all kinds of stuff. It's like if they don't have a hole, they'll make one.
Yes. And what a lot of people don't understand is the federal government and the provincial government are representing the Queen, the Crown.
Of course they are.
But municipal government represents itself.
Exactly.
Which is the money.
Yep. Yep, and you're dealing with, directly, you're dealing with the developers who take over residential and farmland.
Yes.
You're dealing with megabucks on that score. You're dealing with, also, especially in the rural communities, the rural municipalities, you're dealing with developers who are buying land. You're dealing with agricultural companies. You're dealing with Monsanto, Syngenta, DuPont, all of these people who are pushing farmers off the land, pushing people to do their bidding, and in order for them to do that, they have to have the cooperation of the municipal council. If they don't have that cooperation, they're going to have a rough road to hoe. But they do have that cooperation, and these councilors do all of a sudden have new houses and new trucks and new this and new that. You know, so where do they get off? Well, I guess they get off when we tell them to get off, right?
And that's the problem.
Can I bring up a little point?
Example.
Oh, please do, yeah. Go ahead.
I'll give you an example here. If anybody goes to the Municipal Act, okay, Section 17, okay, the section clearly states, okay, and I'll quote it because I got it right in front of me here. It says, restriction, financial matters, 17.1, Section 9, 10, and 11 do not authorize a municipality to, A, impose taxes. Okay? I'm just going to stick with that one because that's the number one here.
Uh-huh.
So how can a municipality sit there and impose taxes when they don't have the authority? We've asked them time and time again, show me where it says that you have the authority to impose taxes. If I refuse to pay my taxes, you could take my house and my property and sell it on an open market for peanuts. Show me where it says you are legislated to impose taxes. I never get an answer from that. They said we're allowed.
No, you'd only get it in a court, and only if the court wasn't related to somebody on council.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, that's...
So what I'm going to be... We're in a progress right now that I'm going to be challenging that in the courts.
Well,
because
really
I own my property free and clear. I have no mortgage. I have absolute fee simple. In a Black's Law Dictionary means no conditions, limitations, or restrictions.
Yeah.
End of story. And so I'm going to tell them that I don't have to pay taxes to you because I have no services. If I have no services, then I don't owe you a dime.
Yeah, exactly.
It's what have you done for me lately?
Because when you think about what...
Besides tear down fences.
Yeah, if you think about what the services are that they have, in my situation is that I'm the same as Norm. I have a provincial highway in front of my property. My driveway goes to that provincial highway. The township basically provides me garbage service. That's it. They pick up my garbage. That's $142 a year. So what am I really paying for the rest? Because I'm basically, I have my own well, I have my own septic system. So what are they really providing me? Nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, there's something interesting I want to add to that. And that is a friend of ours runs a company out of Ayr, Ontario, which is just north of Kitchener. And he makes a very, very excellent form of natural power, a combination of solar and wind. It's really, mm-hmm. really excellent stuff. It's got none of the damaging qualities. If anybody wants to look it up, it's called True North Power, and their website is truenorthpower.ca. But at any rate, this fellow was explaining to me that if you go off-grid in Ontario, in other words, if you produce your own power, hydro
yep.
still forces you to pay for the connection to the grid, which is some $47 or $50 a month, even though you're not taking any power from it. Now, where do they get off doing that?
And the worst thing about it is your taxes are actually paying for Hydro One.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And they're charging you to actually, as a customer. So you're paying twice.
Yeah.
See, here's another example, like the hydro lines running across my land. And these people have the nerve to charge me a delivery charge. And I'm going, well, if it's coming across my land, I should be charging you a trespass fee.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Then they look at you, well, that's petty. Well, it's not petty. It's, you get me, I get you.
Yeah, not only that, but there's also the health considerations of having a major hydro line go across your power, especially if you've got livestock.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
it's funny you mentioned that because I actually got off the phone with Hydro One on Thursday, and I actually asked, because I was listening to your earlier shows, I actually asked them if my smart meter was actually SAE approved, CSA, or Underwriter Laboratory. They said no.
No, it's not.
I said, I'm quite shocked with that.
Yeah.
I said, why would you allow? I said, you have to be CSA approved to run an extension cord from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Well, he says, well, we're special. We're governed under the Energy Act of Canada.
No, actually, that's not true.
We're the only ones that are allowed to touch it.
No.
And I'm going, that's not good enough.
He lied. He's
absolutely
wrong. Absolutely. Okay, the reason why they get away with that is because it is not considered an end-user appliance. It is not something that the homeowner gets to use or switch on or switch off or do anything to. It's simply an appliance that's attached to your house. So they say that it's not an end-user item, therefore it doesn't need the CSA and UL approvals of Universal Labs. And this is the truth. They're telling you the truth there, but quite frankly, if I've got something on my house that could cause a fire, damn right I want it approved by somebody. They are putting...
Well, you explain that to your insurance company. Oh, my house caught fire because Hydro One put an uninspected or unapproved appliance on my house.
Yeah, not only that...
Well, we're not going to cover you.
Yeah, not only that... Well, people are just finding that out. But not only that, you're dealing with something that is installed, get this, under a full load.
Yeah.
Under a full load by a guy who's not an electrician.
Exactly.
These guys are just trained to jam in these smart meters. They are not electricians. They don't know what they're doing. And they're installing these things, and they are noted because they set your wiring system on fire. They can take a whole house down in minutes.
Exactly. And this is what's going to happen now with the Municipal Act 2013 coming in. This act actually gives the municipalities the power of health, safety of a person. So now they have the authority to, they become your nanny now.
Oh, okay? Yeah, well, it is a nanny state. That's the whole deal.
Exactly. So I was thinking outside the box. I said, well, if the municipality is supposed to take care of me, why are they allowing an electricity company to radiate me, okay, with a unlicensed appliance? Where's my health and safety on this?
Well, you know what one wag in California said? He says, oh, well, radiation's good for you. If they use it in chemo, maybe we'll all be cancer-free.
Yeah.
And the guy was serious. He was serious.
Unreal.
He was dead serious. And this was the same guy, by the way, this was the same guy who was lobbying for Monsanto against the labeling of genetically modified organisms.
Jeez.
Okay.
Oh, we know. As farmers, we're, I'm trying to be as organic as I can because of my kids and everything else. And, the rules and regulations are so, they're so ridiculous now that, you got people getting all kinds of E. coli poisoning from these big packers, but you never hear of a small local farmer getting sick.
No.
It's getting so ridiculous that now that the municipalities are getting involved. You know what? Now they want a cut of what you... Because I got a 100-foot greenhouse on my property, now I have potential of generating income. So now they want to tax me on that.
Uh-huh.
Like,
how crazy is it getting? Because I have 300 acres of hay sitting there, and if I only cut a portion of it, they're going to say, well, you have a potential of making money with that. So they're forcing people to work the land and make a little profit. If not, just pay us. They want their cut. It's uh-huh. it's the gangster mentality all over again. It's uh-huh. protection money. I don't care what you do. Pay me. I want my cut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like
they're going more after. They're going more after people to put in cash crops and the GMO type crops. That's what they're pushing for, eh? Because if your land is say class one farmland, and you put it in hay, they're going to tax you on the potential.
Yeah.
Of the higher crop, which is corn, say, for example.
Yeah.
So
and
that's what they're doing to you.
And bear in mind, the EPA in the States declared hay a wheat crop. Did you know that? The EPA, the Environmental Protection Association in, agency in the States, which is about as official as the FDA, okay, they yeah. come out a couple of years ago and they declared hay a wheat crop. I'm going,
wow.
excuse me, what do cows eat? What do horses eat? What do sheep eat? They eat hay. So, hello, how can it be a weed crop? But it is, and this is what this goes with what you said about your hay crop when maybe you should have planted potatoes or maybe you should have planted grain. You know, these guys come in and they say, well, you can make more money this way, therefore we take the tax off that potential. Well, how do you tax a potential anything?
Called,
how do you
it's
guarantee
called, the stock market?
Well, here's the thing. You know what I would say to them? What I would say in return is say, fine, you want to tax the potential? Then pay me the income I'm supposed to get from this potential.
I actually told them a better one. I said, okay, says since farming is so profitable and we're all rich, I said, the year I take a loss, are you going to cover me?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what the response was? The response was, well, you guys are insured.
Uh-huh. Well, it'd be all well and fine if they taxed the potential, if they guaranteed that potential and gave you the money, but they're not.
No.
You know, and I mean, bottom line, they don't have the right to tax anyway, as you say, in the Municipal Act. Have they given themselves that right under the new one?
Yes, under the new Act now, they will actually have the authority to actually, they've actually extended it to gravel pits. And wind power
oh
and solar
God.
Power. So now it's under the natural environment law now. I'm telling you, they are not responsible enough to have this power because the corruption, they're planting the seed of corruption here. Again, we call them gangsters incorporated because that's exactly what they are, because there is no oversight on municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
They can do whatever they want, when they want. If their brother-in-law wants to make something, and they'll pass it through without telling anybody. But if you want to put up, instead of farming, you want to put up a solar panel, they're going to come in there and they're going to say, well, because you're generating X amount of dollars, now we want our cut. And it's like, excuse me, you don't have any authority on my land. The money, the food that I grow, whatever I profit to make off my land is for me, not for somebody to say, well, we want a cut of the protection money or you won't be allowed to do it no more.
How do you see what's behind this municipal corruption? Like, do they have a head agency that kind of dictates what each municipality is supposed to do? Or how's that affected?
They basically took the power away from when Mike Harris came in. He took it away from the municipal affairs. There's nobody overseeing them. So basically what they did was, I believe it was Mr. Hudak brought in the Sunshine Law, okay? And basically that is, these are guidelines that municipalities should follow, except there's no enforcement of it, okay? That's what the ombudsman really wants to do. He's going to go talk to the premier and ask her to put teeth in. That's what I was told on one of the tweets I got from the other day. That's what he wants to do. Because this Sudbury thing is really exploded. They have a petition right now of over 2,200 signatures. They want the ombudsman to come back and do his work.
Well, that would be Andrew Marin, a guy who was almost fired by McGuinty. And there was a big stink about it because he actually nailed the government on a few points. And McGuinty wanted to not renew his contract. And there was a great mm-hmm. big stink about that. And he wound up being ombudsman again, which is good. But, the thing is that when you can stifle, when a provincial government or any government can stifle an ombudsman, then at that point in time, the people have no voice. The people have no voice. And depending on the level of corruption of that ombudsman, if he happens to be an honest guy, okay, well, then you got a voice. But if he's not an honest guy, if he's bought off, if he's corrupt, if he's got a pecuniary interest in anything, you don't have a voice. And this is
actually, he's an honest guy.
Yeah,
he's a very honest guy, and he's trying to do something.
Yeah.
But what's happening is these municipalities decide that a lot of the municipalities hire their own person to be their ombudsman, okay? Mm-hmm. But see, when you deal with the Ontario ombudsman, it costs nothing. These, what they're doing is they're farming out this ombudsman thing to their consulting friends. Remember you wanted to bring up about consulting?
Yes.
Well, that's consulting. What they're doing up in this area mm-hmm. here. They have a consulting friend who happened to be a former municipal politician. So I don't have to say any more about that.
Oh, God, you don't have to. You don't have to. I mean, talk about, feeding the same, at the same trough. They're all feeding at the same trough. And the question
but
I have
But they have an agenda.
But why are people allowing this? Why are there not more Keiths than Norms out there?
Because people are in hock up to their eyeballs. They have two jobs. They have debts coming out. They have a mortgage. They have no choice. And what's happening now is the municipality saw an opening to micromanage the residents, because what's happening now is the way the municipal is structuring now, it's basically, like I explained to a person, it's actually a basic concept. If you look at the municipal boundaries as a condominium, and every homeowner is a condo, you actually own the liability and the condo, but they own the land. So they can tell you what to do, and if basically your taxes are your rent, and every year rent goes up. And it's funny because when you pay rent under the Landlord and Tenant Act, the landlord is legislated to only a 4% per year. Most uh-huh. people's taxes go up more than that.
And not only that, but I mean, you're dealing there with the Landlord Tenant Act is administered by a tribunal now.
Yes.
In that tribunal, the guys, people think it's a judge they're going in to see. When they go into landlord-tenant, they still call it landlord-tenant court. It isn't a court. It's a tribunal, which is of the court system, but it isn't an official court. And because it's not an official court, but rather a tribunal, the guys who look like judges, the guys who sit behind the bench, the guys who issue the ruling, they're not even licensed paralegals. They're guys off the street. They're not lawyers. They're political hack appointees who make over $130,000 a year in this municipality in Toronto. Over $130,000 a year they make, and they're not even lawyers. And I know that, when we were involved with one matter last fall, it came to the point where the landlord had not tried to collect a debt from a tenant for 6 years and was asking the landlord-tenant tribunal to evict the tenant based on this rent that hadn't been paid for 6 years. Well, under higher court rules, you've got 2 years. That's it. To file a claim.
You don't do that with the municipality, they're going to sell your building.
That's right. So, at any rate, the legal representative for the defendant said, well, now, wait a minute, this debt is too old under the statute of limitations. What did the chair of the tribunal say? Oh, we don't use that here. Well, excuse me, that's the rule of law. It is under a principle of law known as stare decisis, which means, in Latin, the decision stands. It affects all courts, okay, and including all of the tribunals that emanate from the court system. And yet all these people, all these tenants who are going in there and trusting the system to protect their rights as tenants, these guys are not even trained in law.
No, they're not even trained in law.
But they're making a fat lot of money, and this is why you see a lot of crazy decisions going on in landlord-tenant court these days. Crazy decisions. You've got tenants thrown out who shouldn't be. You've got tenants
thrown out. And now what's happening, that's all being downloaded to the municipalities now.
Exactly. Exactly. And how is the municipality, which is already scraping for cash, okay, how is that municipality going to handle that? Well, you know,
they're
going to
make a fortune now. Because now ODSP is, the Ontario government is actually proposing downloading that to municipalities. They're going to make a fortune as a slumlord.
Yep. Yep, already.
Because they're going to get paid and the municipality is going to take the money back.
Uh-huh.
It's a perfect scam.
Uh-huh.
You know,
like
there's a lot of elderly people right now that actually own, like they own their home, they worked all their lives. And you know what I'm hearing in my area? We have to take a part-time job to pay for the taxes. So here's the little scheme. Get the elderly working because everybody's leaving the town.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to get their money somehow. The scam is so there that people are not even looking at the obvious. Like my wife says, if you keep the 99% people fighting amongst each other, the 1% wins all the time.
That's right. And that's exactly, you've hit on something very, very important. Very, very important. And it goes beyond the idea of having people fight on one issue, okay? It is that there are so many issues for people to fight. It's like an octopus. And people are fighting off one tentacle at a time, and they're not realizing that if you want to kill the octopus, you got to kill the head.
Yep.
And then the tentacles will die. But the thing is, they're chasing all these tentacles, and they're dividing their power. They're dividing their ability to speak out. They're dividing the ability of the public to actually understand what's being said. And the problem that we've got is, to a large measure, is that people's lives are so full of stress. They are so under the gun in their own positions, like, oh, my God, what if I lose my job? Oh, my God, the mortgage is too much. Oh, my God, food prices have gone up 30% in the last year. You know, all these oh, my Gods going on in people's lives. Do they really want to take on these issues? No, they don't.
Yeah, and it's funny because the Timmins, I'm only an hour from Timmins, they have a new motto for their town is I am. And I'm going, oh, my God, I am bankrupt. I'm in trouble.
Uh-huh.
I can't afford nothing. I am dead in the water. And these people are they're just starting to catch on. And it's like, okay, it's nice to promote your town or a great place to live, but the corruption and the municipal involvement, the greediness there is interfering with progress. That it's clouding their judgment on what's going on the real issues, because all they're thinking about, well, how are we going to get our money for the next? They sound like a contractor where they got paid for the last job. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They're going from job to job to job.
Yeah.
And it's like you could see the corruption just building because it's there. Like I'll give you another example here in my area. Iroquois Falls pays for policing through the Ontario Provincial Police, which is about $1.5 million a year. Now, and I call them gangsters in motion because they are a contractor hired by a municipal corrupt government, okay, which uses the Ontario Provincial Police as their own enforcement team, which I have experienced a couple years ago because I have an issue with the town suing me for my property because they don't own it. I own it. They don't want to pay me for it. So they sent the police after me, and I was charged under an act based on an opinion from a town clerk. And I said,
He's wrong. Here's the evidence. They didn't want to hear anything I had to say. They said, do this or we're going to throw you in jail. I said, you know what? Arrest me. I'll get to a judge before, within 12 hours before, but if I do it the other way. Anyways, long story short, I actually went to the Crown and I explained to him the situation, and he was quite shocked on what I knew. But they actually withdrew the charges, but the municipality abused its power, okay, to enforce something. If I file a false report on a police officer to go get my neighbor because I didn't like what he did to me last week, I would get charged with mischief.
Uh-huh.
Well, it seemed like, you know, because I filed the charter breach now, and I put everybody on legal notice, it's everybody got transferred, and it's like, well, now it's like, well, we changed the rules now. It's irrelevant. You did something wrong. You weren't looking at the best interests of the public. It was personal. So to me, that is corruption at its finest.
Yeah, who's the public that's in the best interest of? Who is that public?
Pardon me?
You got to wonder, who is the public that they're saying they're serving?
Well, it's whoever pays them the highest.
Obviously.
I can't afford $1.5 million, so what I'm doing now is I'm actually researching to see how I can buy my own police force. Because, you know what I mean? It's if all the ratepayers in Ontario get together, maybe we can start our own government. We say, well, we're gonna buy our own policing. I'll give you another example. Did you know that, well, you probably already know this, but all bylaw enforcement officers that work for municipalities are now peace officers.
Oh, yeah.
This was all brought in behind the public's back. The bylaws were passed. And to make it worse, what they're doing now is the bylaw officers, well, the peace officers now, have more power than the actual RCMP or the Provincial Police of Ontario. They can actually bust into your property or your house without a warrant because they're special. So you got a police officer, the Ontario Provincial Police, because of the area I'm in, sitting at the edge of my property, sending a bylaw officer in without a warrant to investigate my property for God knows what. And if there's any infraction there or anything suspicion, he goes back to the police officer and says, yeah, it doesn't look good, but maybe you should look at it. So here comes the probable cause. So, again, the Charter of Right and Freedom is out the door.
Mm-hmm.
They found a loophole through municipal government to actually come in without warrants now. And it's getting worse and worse and worse as it's going, because now they're involving fire protection officers. Because let's say there's an example, there's a fire at your house. Well, the firemen actually went into the house. They're the first people in there. What happens when a fireman comes out? First thing the officer does is grab him. What's going on in there? And it's like the breach of trust is outrageous. Like I told my municipality, stay the hell away from me. You're not allowed on my property. If the building burns, leave it. I'll make sure my family's out, but don't come on my property. And because we're exercising our rights to this, we're looking like a bunch of crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just trying to exercise my rights to, you know, self-incrimination. I don't have to let people in my property.
Well, this is.
But they're finding loopholes, and what they're doing is they're abusing that position. I don't know how many stories I've actually heard about bylaw officers breaking the law and breaking the charter breach just to come in and piss people off.
Well, in BC, they're dealing with this with the smart meter issue because they got people coming on private property and changing the power configuration of the house by installation of this smart meter, and they're just marching on people's property, and they say, oh, well, under the Energy Act, we can do that. Well,
but it's funny
here.
Because me as a farmer, under the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, it's called the biosecurity. When they came in with mad cow disease, farmers actually had to protect themselves against transfer of anything, any vehicles, your footwear, the whole nine yards. You know, OSPCA, veterinarians all know have to wear these special boots. But then you got these hydro guys running around from property to property, no consideration, hopping over gates, and the bylaw officers are doing the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So like I explained to them, if you want to write off the $1 million liability, or it's $2 million now because the insurance companies are involved, if you want to sign off on this, here's the paperwork. They won't. But like I keep telling everybody, the municipalities are taking on way too much power for what, first of all, they're not qualified, because half these people are, you know, they have an interior, they have a motive of, this big money thing and connections, and but again, it all comes down to corruption, and it's crazy. And I explain it to people, and they think I'm nuts. I said, just read the act. It's there. You know, I keep telling everybody, under Section 147, it's called the Energy Conservation Program. Did you know that the municipality can actually tell you, under Section B, it says, the substitution of one form of energy for another. If I'm burning wood, and they're saying it's not efficient enough, because they're not making no money on me because I burn wood, because I have wood on my property, they can say, I want you to burn electricity because we find it's more energy efficient. But they're going to make money on that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, is it getting that, they're so in your face about grabbing cash now that now they're inside your house?
Exactly. I mean, if you want an example of a scam, now this isn't exactly municipal, but you know how they're withdrawing pennies from circulation.
Yep.
And I'm sure that you've all seen in the bank and in the stores the government's rounding program on how they're withdrawing pennies, and they're saying that that from 1 to 3 cents over a nickel, from 1 to 2 cents, you round it down. If it's 3 cents or higher, you round it up. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're rounding it up, you know, from 3 to 5. That's 3, 4, and 5 cents, okay? But you're rounding it down only 1 and 2. So that means they've got a 20% advantage in terms of rounding up. Where does that money go? And on top of that, they're taking back all the copper. Where does the money go from the sale of the copper, since they're not using it for coins anymore?
Absolutely.
Well, in my area here, Scott Reed's my MPP, okay? And Scott Reed is the one that his father gave Stephen Harper all the money for his campaign. That's why we have Stephen Harper. Scott Reed's father owns Giant Tagger. So he wrote a letter that he wanted to hear from all his constituents. His big thing was, in the summer, we got rid of the penny, okay, and we also, that the Governor General has to pay taxes now. So I had a little bit of a problem with Revenue Canada to do with the HST. I phoned my MPP probably a dozen times, never returned a call, but he said right in his newsletter, I want to hear from people. So right now my phone is probably tapped, so they're hearing this wonderful news thing. So I hope they're enjoying it. Remember, I'm just a sheep farmer.
It's funny he says that the phones are tapped. Ever since me and Keith have been talking in this website, we've been hearing all kinds of trouble. It's unbelievable how, you know, how people, when they start standing up for their rights, the abuse that we have to put up with, and
it's
unbelievable.
You're automatically they've got a new mental disorder coming up in the DSM-5, which is the desk manual for the statistical manual for psychiatry. Okay, and this mental disorder is called oppositional defiant disorder, only they're now changing it to oppositional defiant syndrome, which of course
that's how it starts.
Okay, and what that oppositional defiant disorder basically means is that if you object to what the government says, you're crazy. You're defiantly
crazy. No, you're a terrorist.
You're not a terrorist, but you're subject to arrest as a mentally defective person.
Yeah.
Because they can hold you, right?
And what they're afraid to on my farm is that my sheep produce methane. They could be bombs.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Bomb let stuff is deadly.
Sheep.
That, yeah, really. I mean, the sheep part. I mean, look what France did when they legislated against sheep farmers badly over there in France. What did they do? They dumped sheep all over the Parliament lawn. Farmers trucked in thousands of sheep and turned them loose on the parliamentary lawn.
It's funny that we were talking about some of the liabilities, too. Like, me and Keith, Keith had just forwarded me a couple case law regarding bad faith on municipalities. And they actually hire lawyers to cover themselves and the municipalities on this bad faith. And what they do is they went around common law, okay? This is how scary this is. Around common law, which is the basic principle or the fundamental justice of our system, they went around that and they went through administrative law. And it's like, hang on a second, maybe I should find a way to go around common law and, you know, become something else, you know?
Well, this is what are finding out in the Free Man on the Land movement.
Yes.
They're finding out that common law is all very well and fine if it's the courts using it, but it's another issue entirely if you want to use it. And if you want to use it, the first thing that happens is that the RCMP, provincial police, and local police label you immediately as a domestic terrorist.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And this emanates from the Security and Prosperity Partnership signed on to by Mr. Harper, which basically gives the enforcement agencies both north and south of the border the same policies to operate under. So once they decided that people who disagree with the government in the states are terrorists, now they've decided that Canadians who do the same thing are also terrorists. And I'd like to know, what exactly are they terrorizing besides the government who's corrupt?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example, Mr. Dean Clifford. You know, this guy here is standing up to this corruption, and they're doing everything in their power to try to silence this guy. And we also have another partner in this, our website here. He doesn't want to be named, so we're going to call him the Vegan Church Mouse because of his position of employment. But he's been in contact with Mr. Clifford's people, and, you know, he's actually seen the website, and he agrees 100%. But don't forget, between, Winnipeg is a different area than we are. I know each province has its own laws. But it all comes down to the same thing. It's the same formula of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have figured out that if they can micromanage the people and force them to pay municipal taxes, I'll give you an example. You know, we're all body corporate in this municipal scheme. I don't have any benefits. How come the guy that's a contractor works for the town has benefits, but I don't?
Uh-huh.
You know, and these guys are getting paid good money. Now, my municipality just recently passed a bylaw allowing the benefits to go down to the family members now. It's like, oh, my God. I said, they don't even work there. Now they get all the benefits that we're not entitled to? You know, now I know where our money goes. It's going to pay for... it's a write-off. It's a corporation write-off.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know what I mean? It's all about money. Municipalities do not exist anymore. People have to get that out of their heads. You are dealing with corporate. And if anybody's ever seen the movie The Corporation or Mr. Moore, their capitalism, it's the same scheme that the upper... I guess I say the provincial or federal government in the states, you know, maybe I'm using the wrong terminology here, but now the municipalities are figuring out that it didn't work for them, but it works for us because we're not governed by the queen. And I see the similarities. It's so out there in your face that they're actually that arrogant that they're applying this this rule or this scheme, and they're getting away with it.
Yeah, and one of the ways that they are getting away with it is through the UN.
Yes.
Because the UN has two organizations out there. One is the World Urban Forum, and the other one is ICLEI, it's ICLEI. If you want to learn more about ICLEI, ICLEI.org is their site, ICLEI.org. And essentially what they're doing is, like, anytime I see the word sustainable, I run like hell. And, what they're doing is they're basically getting municipalities to sign on as members. And once they sign on like members, then they are agreeing to govern their city according to these principles. Well, that's basically like a trade group for cities and for municipalities. And there are about 1,300 members in Canada. 1,300 member municipalities. Some of them actually right now are dumping it, to their credit. But many of them are just sitting there, like Toronto's an Iqaluit city, Ottawa's an Iqaluit city, Vancouver, Montreal, all these major cities. And what they're doing is they're following UN directives. Well, where does the UN get its directives from? They get it from...
And then they're promoting this UN Declaration of Human Rights, which basically doesn't even exist, because if you look at the definition of slavery, it's supposed to be abolished.
Uh-huh.
And what are the municipal corporations doing? They're enslaving you.
Uh-huh.
They're forcing you to work your butt off to pay for their coffers or I guess, their lifestyle. Because if you don't, they're going to actually take your house and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. And, you see what
and then what do you do
that,
after that?
With that human rights.
To me, that, in my opinion, that is the fundamentals of slavery right there. When you have no more choice to go on your own little piece of land and just do what you want to do to live and be left alone. But now they're imposing their new laws. Either pay me or you can't operate.
Well, essentially,
you know, like,
what's going on there is that with the addition of Iqaluit and these different organizations, what they've done is they've done a top-down and bottom-up operation. And all of it is geared to multinational control.
Yes,
all
absolutely.
Of it is geared to a one-world government, and all of it is putting everybody on the same standards. And when they say the Declaration of Human Rights, and this is what got me on about the Council of Canadians headed up by Maude Barlow, who now also works for Water as a Human Right with the UN,
mm-hmm.
And the first thing I'm thinking of, oh, is that why they're diverting the James Bay aquifer? Is that why they're sending all our water south of the border?
Absolutely.
So that
I'm only a couple hours from the James Bay, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, we are up here with the mines and minerals. You know what I mean? Attawapiskat's only a couple hours from me.
Yeah,
and it's exactly what everybody's been saying because of the resources. Our water here is phenomenal, but China... They want them so bad that, you know, it's the government is actually willing to sell us out to make a deal with these people.
Oh, yeah, and if you look at Shelley Ann Clark's work, she's got pictures in her book, The Sale of a Country, showing a number of dams that they want to build, and part of those dams are on the Attawapiskat River, okay, running right by that. The whole reserve is going to get flooded out. And, you know, the only thing is they've got a 2015 start date because De Beers is in there taking out diamonds. And as soon as De Beers has taken out all the diamonds, they're going to flood the place.
Well, De Beers is done in 2018, so they're only done in another, what, 4 or 5 years now?
So
you know what I mean? They came in, grabbed, and left. But don't forget, too, there's also the Northwest Passage that's going to be coming in there shortly.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we know all of that global warming hype. And why would they put HAARP way up in Alaska? Well, gee,
absolutely.
Funny thing, it's right next to the Northwest Passage. If you take a look at a satellite picture of the Earth from the North Pole down onto the Earth, you see that all of the melting of this glacial ice that they used as a justification for this scam on global warming... was all in the Northwest Passage area. Gee, that whole area of the globe where nobody could ever get through. Everybody tried, everybody failed.
They can never seem to explain the black ash.
Exactly. So now what are they doing? Well, gee, they're dredging out James Bay, and they're gonna block off the flow of water into James Bay, take the aquifer, reverse the flow, send it south. And they're doing the same thing in B.C. with water flows. So basically what they're doing is they're pulling the plug on Canadian water. Canadian water is a human right. And when they say human right, they don't mean Canadians. They mean everybody. So that opens it up for corporate development because, well, gee, we're the U.N. We don't have water pipelines. So they have
to go
You know, they
have
to.
The problem with that is, going back to the municipal level, now they're putting water meters on all houses.
Uh-huh.
So what's going to happen now? You won't be able to grow your own garden because by the time you finish paying for the water to grow that carrot or those potatoes, you might as well go to the grocery store and buy it.
Yeah, which is what they want because that feeds all their corporate giants. That's what
Absolutely.
They want. They don't want you. In the States, you can't grow vegetables and share them.
Yeah.
You can't grow.
And I'm one of the lucky ones. I actually own my water, and I have an aquifer here. I own everything on my land. And, you know, like we're very, 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 very fortunate what we have. But,
yeah.
Again, we are in a legal battle with the Iroquois Falls, so I have to prove that. And it scares them because I have a document here that actually shows that it's mine. And, you know, it's a document that was well hidden, and we've actually exposed it. And, you know, Keith's aware of what's going on with these documents as well because I showed them. You know, and it's it tells you what you're entitled to. And it's crazy what's happening. They want in so bad that they're going to do whatever it takes to grab you.
Oh, yeah, and as long as you're ignorant of facts, they'll take it.
Can I tell you a little story?
If you're smarter than the average bear, they're gonna I guess take you to court and try to bear you in the legalities of what I guess whoever has the greater money I guess is gonna win, right?
Exactly. That's how it's always been like that, hasn't it?
No, can I tell you a little story about a municipality?
Sure, go ahead.
I grew up in this area where I was I grew up in this area, so I know the area very well. So when I came back in 2000, I noticed that they had built houses on top of the dump, okay? And when I was a young kid, I used to go there with my grandfather, and I used to see these barrels. And I said, what's in those barrels? And he says, oh, that's dry cleaning fluid. So basically what they did, they buried these barrels, okay? And after many, many years, these barrels, guess what? They released their, it's called percolating chloride, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, they released this thing into the aquifer. My township built houses on top of where this aquifer is feeding. There's 300 houses in Beckwith Township, okay, have percolating chloride. They did not tell these people that their water was poisoned until a few kids, I guess, died of cancer. Now what they've done is, they said, well, if you put an activated charcoal filter on it, this is what the township said with some consulting company. Of course, there's no proof that the percolating chloride is actually totally removed from the water, and they don't know how many parts per million affects humans, okay? There's no human studies on that. So in my township, if you're on one of where the plume is of this percolating chloride, you can build a house on there. You can get a building permit, but the water is contaminated. But if you put in, so they passed a bylaw, which I'm pretty sure is illegal, that if you put in one of these water purification plants, you can build there. Because I asked them about that in the Clean Water, in the Clean Water Act there. I asked one of those people. He couldn't give me a real answer, and the Ministry of Environment couldn't give me a real answer on that. So what's really going on?
Isn't percolating chloride a solvent? And
if
it's a solvent, wouldn't that make it volatile? And if
it's volatile, it's a chlorine.
Yeah, well, it's volatile.
It's a chlorinated. It's almost like a pesticide. It's worse than a pesticide, actually.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Did you know that they put chlorine in drinking water in Toronto?
Yeah.
Regular chlorine. It's bleach, right?
Yep.
They put it in drinking water, so they're playing with safety levels here.
Yeah, but this is chlorotrichlorine. It's carcinogenic. Okay.
Yeah.
Health Canada. If you look on Health Canada, it is. So I mean, it's because you know why it happened.
They violate all these safety codes as a matter of routine.
Yeah, but you know why they did this? Because a friend of theirs owned the land. One of their developer friends, and one of these developer friends happened to be. The one that built the houses on top of the dump was a counselor at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And all they made him do was resign. And it's the same person that's allowing my neighbors to tear down my fence because I found out through the grapevine, really what he, the reason why my neighbor bought the property, because he wanted to turn it into a subdivision, and he realized that there was a road allowance there, but guess what? He didn't tell me. That's the only reason he bought the property, to turn it into a subdivision.
Yeah.
But he can only turn the into a subdivision if he has, so there's a number of counselors and their friends, they're all behind this, but that's not what they told me, eh? It's a big, you know what I mean? It's a big secret.
Mm-hmm.
Big conspiracy, if you want to see a conspiracy. There's one.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I caught them on it in a video of one of their meetings. You know, if you go on our website and you look at one of the thing, it shows the I'm in a videotaping about the council meeting about this survey. And they're just backtracking like you wouldn't believe, but they're so upset with me, eh, because I caught them in a lie.
Yeah, well, that's the general characteristic of many liars, isn't it? Get, you know, they're all very happy to see you until they catch them. You know.
Yep.
So
yeah, but even then, they
make you
look like a crazy person, and then they just move on.
Yep. Well,
you know,
people have to go.
You know, I don't know. Maybe we should all take a course in psychology on how to reverse it.
Yeah, really. Well, I mean, I've been saying to a number of people, it's time to name them and shame them. It's time to come out
and
right
directly. And this is the reason why we started this website, because this is exactly what we're doing, and we've had enough.
Yeah.
And like I said, we were hoping to get more people to start getting involved and putting their comments up and actually start getting involved. You don't have to be, very intelligent. Just open your eyes. It's right in front of you.
Well,
if you have
Bell,
a question.
California. Look at Bell, California. There's a municipality in the state of California that was like you, had enough, knew their municipal governance was corrupt, went in, arrested the whole bunch of them, including the sheriff. The mayor, who was supposed to be making $25,000 a year, was taking over $100,000. With all the perks, he wound up with $250,000. And his defense was, oh, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Well, I got another little story for you.
I'll let Gene handle this one.
I got a little story for you, okay? In Lanark County, we have the clerk for Lanark County, okay? And he was about he's got about two more years before he was going to retire, okay? And he's making about $70,000 a year. He decided to retire early because they were going to have a by-election in one of our little municipalities here as a counselor. So he won that position as counselor, which pays about $5,000 a year, but as you know, it's worth more than $5,000 a year.
Oh, of course
it's probably worth $150,000 for the influence now he has. So it just doesn't make sense why he would give up a $70,000 job for a $6,000 job.
Not really, unless he's got his finger in a lot of heavy-duty deep pockets.
Well, it can't...
I'll let you live in Montreal.
But I mean...
Yeah,
Montreal. Yeah.
Well, we've all got friends from Montreal, too. I mean, we could probably do a whole show on Montreal.
Yeah,
I've
got friends there, too.
All the way down to Toronto as well, so I think we're going to be hearing more about this.
Oh, I know. I mean, you talk about the Picton pig farm. I mean, this is a pig farm of immense proportions. The only thing is that they're not feeding us pigs. They're feeding themselves.
What do you think?
I always use the analogy of a mushroom. If
Sorry?
They keep you in the dark,
what
they
is,
feed
what
you.
What is the solution to all of this? Like, it's like the corruption is so rampant among municipalities. And
this is the thing, when people start saying, that's corrupt, and pointing at it, and making noise about it, and more people start standing with those people and saying, yes, I agree, this is corrupt, this has to stop. These things disappear like vampires in sunlight. Because then...
Well, what's happening, it's getting so big now that the law firms are now getting involved. Like, I'll give you an example. In September 27, 2011, the Canada Revenue Agency actually went before the Federal Court of Appeal to actually audit municipalities on their procurements because of all these municipal corruptions with these subcontractors and these little documents that are going on. And actually, the CRA, or Canada Revenue Agency, actually won. And now they actually put this law firm, actually put out this website, actually warning these local municipalities, be careful, because now a precedent has just been made, and the door is open. They can come and get you.
Well, let
you know,
me add
so now there's 146
that.
Municipalities that get federal audited, okay, which is good because it's about time. But did it take an average person cannot, an average taxpayer cannot afford to take anything to the Federal Court of Appeals?
Oh, boy, do I ever not want to rain on this parade, but I gotta.
You gotta.
Because there's another reason why the CRA would do that. Okay? It's called the Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement that Harper is now negotiating with the European Union. And there's another CETA, that's what it's called, is CETA, C-E-T-A.
Yes.
There's another one being set up between the EU and China, and there's a third one being set up between the EU and the United States, which is brand new. Under CETA, all of the procurement and purchasing is up for grabs. So they want to know in advance. It's not just about getting rid of corruption, but that's a hell of a good excuse to have it happen, i.e. an audit. Okay, but what they really want the audit for, now this is my opinion, but I'll bet you bottom dollars that this is exactly what they're up to. What they are finding out is exactly what the procurement levels are in all these towns, so that they can feed their corporate buddies, their multinational corporate buddies, who will be contracting once all these areas are opened up by the trade agreement. They will be contracting with the municipalities. So they're getting a leg up. They're going in with their lobbyists, going in there to sell services to the municipalities. And bear in mind, water, power, all these different things are up for grabs, including even our postal service. Okay, all these things are up for grabs under CETA. And for
and
them
don't forget all the municipalities,
they're
now just gotten together to actually buy into a lobby group so they can actually start lobbying for these, I guess I call it jockeying for position, to get these contracts. Now don't forget, again, the federal government and the provincial government have an obligation to the Crown. But the municipalities are governed solely on themselves.
Which is exactly why when the federal government signs an agreement like CETA, all of a sudden all of the municipalities who are sworn to the same thing all of a sudden hop too. All of a sudden, you know, everything's being run the same way. Everything's being what they call harmonized.
Yep.
I like to put a hyphen between the word harm and the other part, anize. Okay,
and let's not forget that
everything.
The Charter of Rights and Freedoms is now burnt. It's not worth anything that's written on.
No, because, you see, here's the thing, and I've been saying this and saying this and saying this, and people don't want to listen to me. And I'm almost sick of saying, I told you so. But the thing is that years ago I was saying, you know what, when people sign these international agreements, I said they trump our domestic laws. Think about what laws we've got that are domestic. Well, that includes our Constitution. Our Constitution is a domestic law, therefore it is trumped by trade agreements. And when our Constitution is gone, we've got no freedom at all. We just think we do. And in the meantime, what the government is doing is they're allowing us to proceed in matters, constitutional matters, that do not affect trade. But if that constitutional matter that you want to appeal to has anything to do anywhere with anybody making profit internationally, guess what? You're going to fail. You're going to fail.
It's funny you say that, because now China is actually coming into Quebec right now and buying working farms. So they can take the beef, the pork, or whatever they're growing back to China.
Exactly.
And what they're doing is they're buying the farms cash. And they're actually hiring the farmers. They're saying, don't move. We want you to run it for us. So you sit there and you say, well, I got paid, so I'm retired, but I'm doing this for fun now. It's the like the cloak and dagger, the hypnotize, do what you got to do here. But there's an agenda. But
well,
you know what I mean?
What
it's getting so so the scheme is starting to develop, and people are starting to see it.
Yeah, and you,
but
you
there's
know
a
what
good majority of the people that don't want to know.
You know what that reminds me of? Does the word feudalism come into play here?
Absolutely.
That's exactly what it is. When the farmers no longer own their land and are working for the people who own the land and getting a pittance, getting, you know, they're not getting control over their own income. They don't have the opportunity to determine what their income is. That's communism.
Well, they're doing it now. The federal government's calling us stewards.
Uh-huh.
What's the difference?
Uh-huh.
You know,
stewards,
you don't own
land.
Your land. Well, yes, you do. You know, some of us actually do own our land. We're not under the Public Lands Act of Ontario, but it's the word they're using now. Now, all over the media, you're hearing the word steward. Steward,
uh-huh.
Steward. They're programming people into believing steward means conservation authority can come in and do what it wants.
Uh-huh.
Because you're a steward of the land.
Well,
so now municipalities are using it.
Bear in mind, even on the deed to your house in a city, you're referred to as a tenant. You're not referred
yes.
to as an owner. You're referred to as a tenant. And if you wanted to get real sticky about the mortgaging acts and things like that, if you add them all up together, it's practically under the law. Without breaking the law, it's impossible to sell your house and mortgage it.
And like I said, we're in a condominium setting, and we're all the little condos.
Yep.
And our landlord is the municipalities.
Yep.
I know it sounds like a crazy scheme, but it's just my interpretation, because that's the way I have to explain it to her. Your taxes are your rent, and they can
no,
charge you whatever they want.
It's entirely too understandable. It's entirely too understandable. And because it's entirely too understandable, it's just got the ring of truth all the way through it. It's got the ring of truth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're talking about stuff that people see in action on a daily basis. You don't have to live on a farm to see corruption in municipalities. You don't have to.
No.
If you live on a farm, you're more likely to.
And but they're coming after the farms because we are outside the municipality.
That's right.
Because they've actually, you know, they've tapped out the people inside the town that they have to go outside. But I keep telling the municipalities, you have no jurisdiction as a municipality in farming. Farming is federal. It's not provincial. It's not municipal. Farming has always been federal.
Yep.
And unless you actually agreed by contract with your consent to get into the provincial OMAFRA in their little schemes and M&R programs, that's how they get you, eh?
Uh-huh.
Right now we have this this big scam going around. We got people coming to the farmers now, and they cut all our timber because of the logging companies. They're saying, hey, let us plant spruce all over your trees, and we're going to give you a rebate on your taxes of 75%. Okay, I said, so what's the catch? He says, well, we're doing this carbon credit thing. I'm going, oh, that's, do I get a cut on the carbon credits? Oh, absolutely not. All you get is the 75%. But I said, what's the catch? I said, there's got to be a catch to this. He says, oh, yeah, we have an interest in your land for 100 years. And I'm going, holy jumping. I says, well, that's not a good deal for me. I said, so what you're telling me, so I explained to the guy, I said, so what you're telling me that, so you're buying up land to sell carbon credits to these companies so they don't have to pay cash. I said, so what happens when Mr. Norm has two wood stoves, a farm tractor, a riding lawnmower, and two vehicles, which is emitting carbon? If I don't have enough to offset on my own property, that means I'll have to pay cash. The guy says, yeah, you know what you're talking about. He jumped in his truck and he left.
Uh-huh.
You know, he figured in the middle of nowhere, Ontario, okay, they could actually come in here and swindle people in a 100-year contract for a measly 75% on your taxes.
Yeah, well,
I said, you know what? I said, be very careful because farmers are not stupid.
No, but they've got this idea in their head that you're all hayseeds, that you walk
yeah.
around with an oat straw stuck between your teeth and say yup a lot.
Yep.
Come on.
"How y'all doing?" he says.
Yeah, how y'all
but
doing?
But, yeah, it's the mentality of the corporate world, eh?
Yeah, watch out for that cow pie, son.
And we're trying to make a difference. We're trying to make a difference by, you know, putting up a website. Our traffic on our website's gone up this month by 150%.
Excellent.
We're planning to have a town hall on the 28th of February at 8 o'clock, and I am going to personally call every MPP in Ontario and invite them. I've invited the Ombudsman of Ontario, and we're also going to invite all the ratepayers in Ontario as well. So that's why I put the meeting off to the end of the month, because it would take me a long time to call everybody.
Watch, the municipality will come in and say, "You can't hold that event. You don't have enough parking."
No, it's going to be a conference call. We can have 1,000 people.
Oh, well,
yeah,
hey.
Be careful. We might be a nuisance. They might pass a bylaw.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You're not in the free speech zone.
Like Keith was saying, it's important that the people start getting involved. We need to get all sides involved in this discussion, because when people start knowing the basics, they're going to start cluing in on what's going on.
Uh-huh.
There is an agenda here, people. You must wake up, because like I heard from Dee, a few weeks ago on a radio program, she said, "If you want to serve your country, open your mouth." I cannot stress that enough.
Exactly. Open your mouth.
It's like, I just don't understand. If you're that much in debt, okay, it's because people are running you. If you start thinking and start taking over your life, it's not hard to get out of debt. I have 6 kids, okay? I live on a farm, and my food bill a month is $150. Okay?
Wow.
You can't tell me that life is that difficult. The only two bills I have is my phone and my hydro. I bought my farm cash because I didn't want to buy the four-wheeler or the expensive truck to look like the Joneses. You save your money. Right now, property is at its lowest. It's time to buy land. It got guys, young guys right now that are hooking up with the mines, and mining is booming right now, and they're getting paid big dollars. What are they doing? They're buying brand-new trucks and four-wheelers and skidoos.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, that skidoo is $12,000. That truck is $60,000. That four-wheeler is $14,000. You could have bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the young people are smarter than we give them credit. You know why?
Because I sure hope they are.
You don't really own what you own. I use the analogy. I keep telling people now lately. I says, "Would you buy a house if you don't really own it?" They said, "What do you mean?" Well, I said, think about what's going on with the municipal government. You can't put a fence up. You can't fix your house. You can't even clean your own windows under the new bylaw, under the new municipal act, because they're going to direct you on how to do it. We got wind that now that the Workplace Safety and Insurance Board wants to get into home insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's with that?
Well, what that is that gives them an adequate reason to come in and declare standards. And what we've been hearing is that they're getting to the point now, and especially with the smart grid, they're going to be able to do it. If you have out-of-date appliances that are energy guzzlers, they'll come in and force you to fix that. If you want to sell your house, if there's something that isn't up to code, you'll have to have an inspection in order for you to be determined to lawfully sell your house.
Yep.
Never mind to protect the buyer, but in order to sell your house, it has to be up to all current codes. And you don't get to decide what those codes are, and nobody gets to decide what's safe and what isn't. If they were to up the service on your house to 300 amps instead of 200 amps, and your house is at 200 amps, guess what? In order to sell your house, you got to rewire it.
Yeah. God, I love the way you think. I'm going to give you a really good example here real quick. Okay? The city of Sudbury. Okay? Well, not city. I'll go back a little bit here. Did you know that Hamilton and Cambridge, Ontario, have now have passed this bylaw that if you want your parents to move in with your kids, it's a $5,200 non-refundable application fee for your parents to move in with you, okay? Because they want to know if you're going to build an in-law suite. So what they're going to do is, again, potential. You are becoming a renter. So the city of Sudbury got really smart on this because what they did now is they passed a bylaw and they got together with the real estate board. They said, now, when if you're going to sell this house and it has an in-law suite, you are now have to produce the building permit to make sure that the municipality actually got their cut of that building. If not, you cannot sell your house.
Well, I'd love to see that because my landlord, who was the slumlord from hell, is trying to sell his house right now. And I can tell you right now, it doesn't conform to code. And I'm going, well, you know what? If you want to play games and enforce, start there at least before we shut you down.
Well, the reason why this become like that is because somebody actually took it to court and actually set case precedent. Because the people who bought the house, the construction was done, and the house was actually falling apart. And so they went back to the city, and they said, well, did the former owner have a building permit? And they said, no. So what they did is the new residents, under the real estate laws, because if you don't declare, did you know you even have to declare if you have a ghost in your house?
Okay?
It sounds crazy, but if you're going to declare a ghost, you better declare your construction work because you could be liable for that.
Well, how do you prove you've got a ghost?
If he gives you a hard time and you don't pay him, I guess you got to do what you got to do, right?
Well, yeah, and like, is there a fee for that?
I don't know. I call my municipality the devil. I guess I can call them a ghost, right?
So, Dee, what suggestions do you have for me and Norm to get these rest of the province on our side and start waking up?
I was going to ask you, what have you been in touch with the National Farm Union? Have you been in touch with the Ontario Municipal Board and people like that? Have you gone that to that extent yet, or like what's the Farm Union have to say about stuff like this?
Most of those farm organizations, I've worked with a number of farm organizations, and basically they're just price takers. Farmers don't work very well with other farmers, okay? The National Farmers Union lost their accreditation, okay? I'm just letting you know that I have been involved with the National Farmers Union in the past, and they're basically a waste of time. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
then I started up my own.
I kind of found them that way too because I called them up, and I was asking them. Well, you know, you guys have been affected this badly by the trade agreements, and by loss of sovereignty. I said, are you fighting against all these new trade agreements? And you know what? I never even got a response from them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, at the same time. It's the trade agreements that are decimating things and empowering municipalities and empowering federal governments and provincial governments to come in and basically lay claim to everything that we ever had.
Yeah, well, I wrote letters for, I guess it was last year, for I spent maybe a couple of days just writing letters and stuff to all the committee members that they were trying to pass the GMO alfalfa. I don't see any point why we want a monocrop of just alfalfa with nothing else in it. And the National Farmers Union basically did nothing. Nobody helped me. So I got to know almost the people on the committee. Of course, the committee was a little lopsided on the pea side, but that's usually life in the fast lane.
Well, you know what? I used to live on a farm, and, you know, I ran a little bit of a horse ranch, and, of course, I bought a lot of alfalfa. And I even had one horse who used to jump fences in order to go on the floodway outside of Winnipeg, which grew nothing but alfalfa. And I'm wondering, why would anybody want to mess genetically with alfalfa when the stuff is ubiquitous and doesn't seem to need any help?
Because there's a big market in horse meat.
Yeah, no kidding. Apparently. Burger King was using it in Europe.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're all getting busted. The little bird was out of the cage the other day. They were exposing all these it's funny to say, but the American companies were hiding everything.
Yep.
They were mixing it.
It's not funny to me. I'm a health activist. It's not funny to me.
And no, absolutely. Look at Quebec. Genetically engineered cattle.
Yep.
Okay? Grown from a petri dish without a label.
Uh-huh.
And people are eating this stuff. It's like, oh, my God. And they're going to come after me and Keith because we're trying to make a living. Like, what is with that? You know, I got as far as right now, I have actually an on-site butcher shop and cooler room on my place, so I don't have to deal with these people. Because
excellent.
Now I feed my family. There is no money to be made sell to the public. That's my opinion, because I tried, because everybody is chasing the same penny. Now that the municipal government's getting involved, they're including the health unit. Now you got to be labeled. You know, I got rid of all that. So I did is I got rid of all government involvement, and you know what? Now I'm a target because I'm a crazy right winger. You know what a crazy farmer that guy is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you.
But
got
I don't
ads.
Have to pay for it.
You've got oppositional defiant disorder.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you'll be put in jail.
No. It's a mental assessment. Then they'll put you in an institution because you're crazy.
Which is a jail.
Well, yeah.
Same jail.
Locked doors. Yeah.
Better food, maybe.
Better food. Well, I don't know about the better food, but better beds anyway.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, maybe they'll give me a happy pill.
Yeah,
make me forget about all these conspiracies.
Yeah, you'll be drooling in an armchair, so you won't know you're in there.
Privatized. They'll probably be privatized by Harper. Build it, and they'll come.
Well, I mean, bottom line is our prison system is a for-profit industry, and people don't know that either. But if I tell them that Lehman Brothers was in charge of all the U.S. correctional system, you know, they start to twig on. Oh, Lehman Brothers? Oh, well, who runs ours? Well, go look.
Yeah, absolutely. And I live in the municipality of Monteith. I actually have the correctional facility here. And, you know, we see what's going on here. You know, they were talking about the soup jail. And I'm going, why would they build a super jail in the middle of nowhere? You know, and then I started putting two and two together. I said, you know what? You know, the communities are pretty well spread out, but they're going to have to put them somewhere. It was big enough for an interim camp, so you know what I mean, for the war. So, you know, I'm sure they could put us all in there.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, like I said, we're stretching it here. But, you know what I mean? It's coming down to that, because if
it is. And why?
If you don't bow down and follow the regime, they're going to get you.
Yeah, they're going to get you. And you look at Department of Homeland Security in the States has just bought 1.5 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition.
Yeah,
now,
and the drones.
Hollow point ammunition is kill ammunition. This is not for target shooting. And 1.5 billion, that leaves 5 bullets for every American. And they've got Chinese troops training. We've got Russian troops, video showing up, Russian troops in Colorado. You've got Obama basically vetting his top military brass and saying, would you fire on Americans? If not, you're fired. And this is what's going on. And, you know, if they have a civil war down there, which I can smell coming, it's going
and
to
thank
spill
God
over
for
the
friends like Alex Jones that actually exposed this. He calls it the Red Dawn scenario. This guy couldn't be more right if people walked up to you and kicked you in the butt.
Yeah.
But, again, you know what I mean? They're making movies about our future. You know, you see the movie Total Recall. You look at the X-ray machines. You know, that's in the airports now, the full-body X-ray machines.
Yeah, well, they're pulling
these
those.
People are getting these scenarios from somewhere.
Wait. The TSA is taking out the back scatter machines. They are replacing.
Oh, they are.
Yes, they are. But here's the kicker: they're replacing them with machines that can scan every molecule of your body from 150 feet away without you even knowing you're being scanned. And
so much for consent.
If you've been smoking pot and you've got a molecule of pot in your body, they can bust you on that molecule.
Wow, jeez.
They can bust you on that. They've got every capability that they had in the backscatter and then some. Otherwise, they don't pull stuff like that because the people...
God, I hope they don't have another Woodstock.
Well, my Lord.
I only had two of them.
Hey?
Seriously.
We only had two of them.
Seriously.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, if the molecules are going to pick up that much pot, we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of wish I could make them all sit in a corner and get stoned because they'd be a lot easier to deal with.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything
but like
is
I said,
so
we're hoping that people were going to start getting involved in this, you know, this conference call because I think our main objective, Keith, is to try to organize all the ratepayers of Ontario, basically give them a forum to go. And the only way to beat these corporations now, trust me, it's a corporation, it's a business. So if you unionize and become your own regulatory body,
yep, create your own.
If you become like the police services board, you can do pretty well anything you want, right?
Pretty much.
Yep.
You would think. Well, you know how it
but
goes.
Anyway,
if you want something done right.
It sounds a little far-fetched on how we got to think here, but we have to think outside the box. And if you start acting like an employee or a body corporate, and you start exercising your rights as you know, as a corporation, then maybe the corporations are going to back down right now because
I'm telling you, there's a lot
of people don't understand that they're body corporate.
Well, no,
and shareholders
realize they're stockholders. Use the term stockholders. Yep. They understand what a stockholder is. And tell
no, but they won't allow you to exercise that right. You're called a body corporate. You're a solid partner.
You're a stockholder in the body corporate, whatever. But the bottom line is, if there's enough people in numbers, they run for the hills. It is the story of the Wizard of Oz. There is a curtain.
Absolutely.
If you pull it back, you find this tiny little mechanism, this little nest of rats, and you nail them. And you nail the rats because we.
Yeah, and I keep telling everybody, click your heels 3 times and start kicking people in the ass.
Yeah, and send them all to Kansas. But you know, Dorothy and Toto and the way back to Kansas. Hello. But, you know, the thing is that people do have the power. All they have to do is stand up because
Absolutely.
We outnumber them, and they depend on us. If they didn't have us, they would have nothing.
Absolutely.
The only value they've got in anything, resources, anything, is us. They are not going to dig diamonds out of the ground. They are not going to dig the gold out of the ground. They're not going to grow the food. We do all of that, and without us, they have nothing.
And when you think about all this thing that's going on right now, is you know, smile and be positive. There is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh yeah, there is.
We need to get each of our guests' names and where they can be contacted.
Yeah, and
so why don't we go through that now because we only have a few minutes left.
Before we do that, I want to point you guys at a website called localsupportinglocals.ca. Okay? localsupportinglocals.ca. These are all people who are involved in, you know, self-support, micromanaging themselves. The very things that you're concerned about, contact the people from that site. They're friends of mine. They will treat you well. They will promote your message. They will promote your conference call. And they have a huge list of a lot of supporters. So do go there.
Excellent.
Do go there. And in the meantime...
Norm first?
Norm first.
Okay. You want my full name and address?
Yeah.
Well,
okay,
not your street address, your name and where you can be contacted.
Oh, sure, okay. It's Norm Wavere at 705-232-6431. And you can contact me through my email, which is norm_Boisvert, B-O-I-S-V-E-R-T, at naturallam.ca.
And your website?
It's yourmunicipality.ca.
Excellent.
Great.
And,
okay.
And for your organic lamb, it's naturallamb.ca, right?
You have to talk to Keith for that one.
That's actually my website. I love lamb. I was raised on leg of lamb. Love lamb.
Okay, and then Keith?
Yes, basically the easiest way to get me is actually on your municipality.ca. But also you can just go on Google and just Google Keith Salisbury and you'll find me everywhere. I've been everywhere, okay? You'll find about 20 pages of me. And my phone number.
I've been everywhere,
man. And
my phone
number
is 613-257-7168. And I'm always available.
Awesome.
Great.
Well, thank you so much.
And I would
like
to thank Mr. Christopher and Ms. D for the opportunity to allow us to express our views on your program.
Oh, it's
our
pleasure.
And, you know, to us, that's very, very important, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been shocking for me just hearing all this. It's shocking. And I don't know. We have to get people to wake up and look around them and see what's going on.
Yeah. And
it's unfortunate when you get to the story about the poor woman that got busted in by her local municipality there, but that can be found online.
Oh, can you tell that quickly? Here, we've got a minute.
Actually, if you go to the Constitutional Foundation of Canada,
mm-hmm.
there's an actual story on the person, the bylaw that don't need warrants to actually break into your home. They actually detail it pretty good, and it'll be quite shocking to know what is actually really happening, and it'll actually show you that bylaw officers have the power to do whatever they want. And there is no consequences to these people. Again, they work for the municipalities, they're appointed by them, and they're not bylaw officers anymore, they're now peace officers of Ontario Provincial Police. So that means that they're all being formatted into one unit. So one has the power, and the other will follow. Again,
the federal and provincial government
have to conform with the Crown.
Thank you both for being on the show today. And
thank you very much.
We need to let you go, and I hope we get some follow-up. And we'll send you the addresses for the show, how you can send it out to people that they can download it.
You can post
great.
A link on your site, or you can download it to your site and make sure that the interview is heard by far and wide.
Yeah, great. Thank you both very much for being on today.
Excellent.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thank
so
you very much.
Wow, Dee, another amazing show again. Just all this information is just so terrible.
it is overwhelming. As we were talking earlier, it is overwhelming. And when it gets to that overwhelming point, you really need to rely on your inner strength. You really need to rely on the fact that, you know, this is all temporary. This is what we are told. In all of our spiritual traditions, this is all temporary stuff. This is not who we are, so that we can stop living in fear. We have to stop living in fear here. If people are afraid, they do nothing. And this is where these guys get to, these elites of at every level, including, as we've seen today, municipal, and how it's all connected provincially and federally and otherwise. We have to stop living in fear. What are we afraid of, you know?
That's right. Okay, thank you, BBS Radio. Thank you, Dee. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we will, with more.
Goodbye, all.